Today's broadcast of Bagels and Blessings has been previously recorded at an earlier time. Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello, friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace. This is Ethel Chadwick. Welcome to another week of Bagels and Blessings. Today you will hear my delightful interview with Rabbi Henry Morse, so don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Congregation Shema Yisrael. We are a Messianic congregation made up of Jews and Gentiles who believe that Jesus, or Yeshua, is the promised Messiah. Our services contain Jewish liturgy and Davidic dancing, and we celebrate the Feasts of Israel. We meet at 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton, and our services are Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Please join us for worship. And while you are in the building, be sure to check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. Now open Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays by appointment, Wednesdays from 3 to 8 p.m., Thursdays from 3 to 6 p.m., and up to 30 minutes after services on Saturdays. You can call the Fig Tree Bookstore at 585-484-7775. The Fig Tree Bookstore and Gift Shop is a great place for books, CDs, cards, jewelry, and so much more. So be sure to check them out when you visit Congregation Shema Yisrael. And now, when you make a purchase at the Fig Tree Bookstore, you can fill out a raffle ticket. Those names will be drawn for a prize from Bagels and Blessings. So those of you in the Rochester area, be sure to visit Congregation Shema Yisrael in the Fig Tree Bookstore and fill out your ticket for a chance to win a prize from Bagels and Blessings.
Shalom, Yerushalayim. Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat 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 shalom, Shabbat shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Of course, that was the great voice of Jonathan Sattel. His booming voice has stayed with me through all these years on Bagels and Blessings. I still can't believe that he's gone. May he rest in peace. Here's Paul Wilbur, Shouts of Joy.
Shalom, friends. This is Paul Wilbert, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
I'd like to thank Excellent Air Heating and Cooling for sponsoring Bagels and Blessings. Give them a call today at 585-889-7840. They're a family-owned and operated business. Their prices are fantastic. They will take care of your air conditioner in the summer and your furnace in the winter. Give them a call today because they love the Lord. And they are excellent. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, 585-889-7840. Here's a great arrangement of Great Are You, Lord, from Sue Samuel.
You give my You are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
Great are you, Lord. Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shema Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L, and please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And you're invited to come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. 250 Edgewood Avenue in Brighton.
Did you ever have one of those songs that just soothed all your fears, all your worries, and every time you hear it, you feel like you've just been lifted up to the heavens? Well, this next song is from Marty Goetz. It's called The Spirit of the Lord, and I guarantee you that you are going to feel so blessed after you hear this.
The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me. Yes, the Lord has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me. Yes, the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor and to bind up the broken in heart, to proclaim his freedom to all who are bound, all who are bound. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For the Lord has anointed me. Yes, the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to preach the year of his grace, and that vengeance belongs to our God, and to comfort all those who mourn and who grieve. All those who grieve, to give them beauty for ashes, for mourning the oil of joy, and for the spirit of sorrow the garment of praise. And they will be called the trees of righteousness planted by God's own hand, that he may be glorified. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And my soul will exult in my God, for the Lord has anointed me. Yes, the Lord has anointed me. He sent me to preach good news to the poor, and to bind up the broken in heart, to proclaim his freedom to all who are bound, all who are bound. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord.
Lord, and my soul shall exult in my God, for he's clothed me with garments of his salvation and wrapped me with the robes of his righteousness. Yes, upon me is the Spirit of the Lord. Yes, upon me is the Spirit of the Lord. He's anointed me with the Spirit of the Lord.
Shalom, this is Marty Goetz, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
Well, I hope you were truly blessed by that song. You know, it comes right out of Isaiah 61. So open up your Bibles, turn to Isaiah 61, and just hear those beautiful, beautiful words. Hallelujah. And we know that Yeshua fulfilled those words, didn't he? Hallelujah. Well, stay tuned for my interview with Rabbi Henry Morse. For right now, we've got time for some more music. So I'm going to select something from the Kedem.
Tamu, o que tova do
And since that song was all in Hebrew, I know you'd love to hear the English translation. It comes from Psalm 34, verses 1, 3, and 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise is always on my lips. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever. Hallelujah. So that's a pretty exciting song. Alrighty. Next up, here's Sally Klein O'Connor, Waiting for the King of Jews Blues. I sure love this song.
O'Connor, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings.
And now it's time for my interview with Rabbi Henry Morse. Enjoy.
Shalom, Rabbi Henry. Welcome to Bagels and Blessings.
What's machto, Mama?
Oh my gosh.
Long time no hear.
Oh my gosh. It has been such a very long time, darling. And we have history, man. I haven't seen or talked to you in so many years, and there's been quite a transformation in your life. Why don't you tell us briefly about how you came to know Yeshua, and then we'll talk about your transformation from the great Benefucci to Rabbi Henry.
Oh, that's such a story. Well, here's the thing. I, I, I've written a couple books since the last time we spoke, and I actually included briefly in my at the end of my book, my autobiography, because I needed people to know that I wasn't just some schlemiel from Yonkertown here. And you know, I don't want to get into all the detail because it's really quagmiric. I was raised in what's known as a conservadox home. Are you familiar with the term?
What is that, like a combination of orthodox and conservative?
Well, kind of. We went to an orthodox shul, and I went to the synagogue, and 5 days a week I went to Cheder, and, you know, which is Hebrew school, and then Shabbat on a Saturday. But, you know, orthodox, you're not allowed to drive on Shabbos. So we would drive into shul, park a block away, and then walk in and pretend we walked the entire way. I never heard of that.
Not in a long time, actually. That's funny.
So, you know, I get a little something in my throat. We weren't exactly the most religious. We went to shul. We feigned piety as Orthodox. But actually, as children, we were raised more Orthodox than the parents. I mean, that we were more practitioners of Orthodoxy than our parents were. They basically dropped us off quite a bit. And my father wasn't exactly what we consider the most, he wasn't a tzaddik. He was just a normal guy and, you know, dropped the kids off to Hebrew school. And I went from being a nice Jewish boy to a backslidden hippie in the 70s. And I don't want to get into that whole definition of what that meant. You know, I don't want to glorify that old lifestyle. And I did all the craziness of that era. And then, you know, you ever heard of Rodney Dangerfield? Do you remember him?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Yeah. What's fucking wrong? What's the problem? I came home. My parents moved away. They left no forwarding address. Well, that's literally what happened to me. My parents moved to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was 17 years old, and they left me. Now, that could sound like a sob story, and that could sound like a loser, but actually, it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, because that's when the Lord started really getting a hold of me. So I was finishing off my last year of school, semi-homeless. I had some friends who took me in, wonderful believers, loved the Lord. The mother and the grandmother were saints. The father was kind of an Archie Bunker character.
Oh.
It was a character. I think he really had a problem with a Jew in his house. But the mother loved the Lord, and the grandmother loved the Lord. And Vinyl, who was the son, was one of my dearest, closest friends. He's like a brother to me. And they took me in, and I finished off my last year of high school with them, and they kept me from being on the streets. And then after I graduated high school, I basically was homeless for about 2 years, hitchhiking hither and yon and far, you know, to faraway places. And I found myself on top of a mountain in Colorado, getting ready to throw myself off.
Yikes, so you were like a Jewish gypsy.
A gypsy. And so, and it wasn't because I wanted to die. I just didn't know what to live for. And, you know, you go through all the craziness, the mustagas, and before you know it, you know, you get a little famished in the head, famishtikov. So, you know, it's funny because before that, previous to that, someone had given me a Bible with a Brit Milah Shah, a New Testament. And for me, of course, and probably you as well, the Brit Milah Shah was the enemy's book. And I tried to throw the Bible out. It ended up in my garbage. I felt guilty. I put it in my underwear drawer. I felt guiltier. Before you know it, it made its way around my room, and I kept on hiding it. And when, you know, because of course you don't share. I don't want my mother to see this, or to kill me. I ended up putting it in my backpack when I was hitchhiking, and on top of a mountain in Colorado. And I don't want this to sound like I'm over dramatizing. Because this is what happened, you know. Again, it could sound like, well, this is a made-for-TV movie, you know. Well, seeing Henry on the Mountain, I was preparing to throw myself off, and the Lord, I guess to a degree, had my Moses experience, and he said to me, read that Bible. And I pulled out the Brit Chadashah, and I read the New Testament from cover to cover, and came to faith. Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. And that's what happened, literally. And not because I said the sinner's prayer. I did not know how to speak Elizabethan English. Oh, Lordus, I prayest that thou wouldst come into my heartus. You know, I didn't know that shtick.
But you had your mountaintop experience. Wow.
I had my mountaintop experience, exactly. And we came to faith, and I realized, hey, and I didn't know how to call him Jesus, Yeshua then, but I said, Jesus, he wasn't a Baptist like his cousin after all.
So how did your life change? What happened next?
Well, I mean, there's always a growth process, and there's always a learning curve. And so for me, it was, you know, I know this might sound really, again, dramatic. Excuse my throat. It's really hurting this one. I just came down and started sharing the gospel. I knew I was called to ministry. I was 18 years old. You know, and obviously my homily needed some work. You know, my homily back then was, good dude, check out Jesus, he's cool. He's the Messiah. Throw her out, you know. So since then, I like to think my homily's gotten a little better. So I started sharing the gospel. And I ended up in a commune in Boulder, Colorado, and for a short while, very short while, but I was there. And, you know, ended up finally in San Francisco. And I hitchhiked as far as Washington State, Oregon, San Francisco, and back and forth and hither and yon. And finally, I ended up back in Albuquerque. My parents had moved to Albuquerque. And it was late at night, and I only had a couple pennies left. So there was a Winchell's Donut Shop that I used to like to, you know, on a rare, rare occasion. You know, if I'd see a Winchell's, I'd love their donuts. And I'd go there, have a cup of coffee and a Winchell's. And so there was a Winchell's donut shop on Central and Wyoming Avenue in Albuquerque, just a couple blocks from my parents' home. I hitchhiked all the way back to Albuquerque, and I was reading my Bible. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning, having a cup of coffee and a donut, the last couple pennies I had to my name. And, you know, I'm praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? I wanted to go back to Boston and witness to all my friends. And I was just going to skip the whole thing. Even though I'm a couple blocks away from my parents, I was going to skip their house and hitchhike back to Boston and witness to all my friends. And I knew the Lord because, you know, even though I was still growing, you know, I had really digested his word. And the Lord spoke to me again and said, go back to your parents. So I walked the couple blocks back to my parents' house, and I slept there. A little mobile home in a mobile home park in Albuquerque, not too far from Sandia Air Force Base. And I ended up sleeping on the porch that night because I didn't want to wake him up. It was like 3 o'clock in the morning. And of course, as was my father's tradition and his custom, to walk the stupid little schnauzer every morning, and the door opens up and all I hear is and the dog's barking, and my dad's, what's going on here? My father almost tripped on me and killed me and killed himself. And, hey, my son, the bum, he's home.
Oh, how long had it been since you saw them?
It had been that entire summer.
Wow.
And my friend the bum was, so what have you learned all these months being a bum on the road? And I looked at him pretty groggy and sleepy-eyed, and he said, oh, Dad, wow, Dad. You know, I found Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior, man. And of course, from there, it's, oi, gavolt, azachem ve gavolt, Sophie, you don't want to hear from this. Yes, my mother's name was Sophie.
What every Jewish parent wants to hear.
Yeah, my son, the convert. So he went running in the house, and it was a war from there. And for years upon years, my father didn't speak to me. I ended up becoming discipled in an Assemblies of God church. And they acknowledged my calling, and they were very good to me. And I loved these brethren very much. They're very dear brethren. Pastor Gerald Manning, Gerald B. Manning, from Kansas. And he was a really, I don't want to say stocky, but you know, when a guy is big because he's worked all his life and he's not fat, but he's got a couple of pounds on him, but you can tell he's a strong guy, and he was that kind of a guy. He wasn't a little man, and he wasn't a little wimpy man. He wasn't a girly man.
Uh-huh.
He'd always say to me, he'd say, Henry, my little seed of Abraham, my Jew boy, I love your son. And then he would say to me, and I don't even know if he understood what he was saying, he would prophesy over me And he would say, "Someday you're going to be a rabbi." And every time he'd say that to me, I'd cringe. Like, oh, God, I don't want to be the rabbi. Oh, please, Lord. Because I knew what it took to be a rabbi. And I still think to myself, you know, people call me by that title and I have credentials and I get it. But it's like, well, the title of rabbi, oof, it's overwhelming. It's really something, I'll tell you. I don't deserve it. Mm. And, you know, they ended up helping me take courses. I took a bunch of correspondence courses and in the Assemblies of God, and I started my procedure, getting my credentials, and then I eventually ended up going to college and getting my degree and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. And I ended up getting credentials in the Assemblies of God as a minister with the Assemblies. I served for a short while with Jews for Jesus and was ordained through them as a missionary and served as the National Youth Director of Chosen People Ministries under Mitch Glazer.
Wow. Hey, when I met you, you were riding a unicycle and juggling.
Yeah. Well, I was doing that as a minister. You know, you knew that.
Yes.
You know, I was trained classically as a gymnast. And, you know, I competed and I actually trained for a short while under Rusty Mitchell, an Olympic coach. I wasn't Olympic material, but I was good. I wasn't great, but I was good. And I trained under him for a short while and ended up getting, because I tried a stint at the University of New Mexico as an art major, but I flunked out for all intents and purposes because my grades were so bad. And then I started pursuing ministry in a more passionate way. And so I started doing street shows in Albuquerque. I learned how to juggle, ride unicycle, walk rope. I was balancing canoes on my chin. Before you know it, it developed into a three-hour, one-man show. Tumbling, acrobatics, hand balancing, you knew all this stuff that I did. 9-foot stilts, 6-foot unicycles, juggling knives, fire, bowling balls. I did the whole thing.
Did your parents ever see your show?
Yeah, they did. They did. My father, on occasion, would talk to me, but not often. My mother, of course, we kept, you know, a communication because a mother's heart is different than a father's heart.
Yes.
But on a rare occasion, my father would talk to me and then he'd go back into his skulking and, "Why the blank did you become what you became? What blank is wrong with you?" And, you know, he'd give me that shtick rach. And it was a mixed bag. So, yeah, my father actually came to a couple of shows. And seemed to enjoy it. I think he was surprised. I think he thought I was kind of like Bozo the Clown. He wasn't expecting, "Hey, my son, the preacher acrobat." So, you know, I did this as a full-time street ministry. Would gather crowds, preach the word. You know, when you're on 9-foot still struggling fire, they don't confuse you for a Jehovah Witness, right?
Exactly. And did you call yourself the Great Benefucci at that point?
Yes, I did. I stole that from the Three Stooges.
Well, you know, I lost
the Benefucci Mekaranji. You got it some slick chick.
I lost contact with you for quite a while, and then I started following you on Facebook. And the next thing I knew, there you were in the Boston area, and you were a Messianic rabbi. And I went, wow. So I need to, in the moments that we have left, I need to know the transition from the Great Benefucci to the rabbi, and tell me about your congregation and your life.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the thing. I've always been in ministry, but I had to make a living to afford ministry. So I did this secularly as well as in ministry. And I'm not boasting. I don't want it to sound like a boast. I was getting pretty well known in some circles. And, of course, I was doing ministry all over the world. I mean, all over the world. And, you know, people started hucking me at China because we moved back to Boston. We were ministering in this area in different capacities. I was a youth pastor. I was a street evangelist. I was a full-time evangelist at a congregation, blah, blah, blah. And you know, there was no Messianic congregation in the South Shore. And I had a number of friends who were very much involved in the Messianic movement who said, "You need to start a Messianic congregation. You need to, you know, lead it." And I kept on saying, "Look, I'm an evangelist. Read Ephesians 4:11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. The Lord knows who I am." And they nagged me for a number of years. And so finally I said, "I will start a small group, but you guys are going to have to find someone to take it over." And we started in a house, Chavura. And before you knew it, We ended up moving into a small building, and now we're into a much bigger building, and it's been 21 years later.
Wow.
That I resigned 21 years ago and said, you know, find somebody else to take it over because I'm not a rabbi. And then Mitch Glazer, who I worked under in Jews for Jesus, knew that I had resigned my credentials with the Assemblies of God, and asked if I would be interested in receiving credentials under Percy Johnson, who was the rabbi of Kehilat Sha'ar Yeshuv in Montreal. And he said he would ordain me as a Messianic rabbi. And I prayed about it, and I said, all right, I guess this is the way the Lord's leading, and the doors are opening up, and, you know, I guess we'll move that way, and I did. But again, it's been a massive learning curve, massive, and I've had to really commit to buckling down, and of course, I still love evangelism, but I had to really put myself, my nose to the grindstone, and get my act together to figure out what I was doing. It's been 21 years, June 4th, last June, a couple days ago, and we're a very active congregation. We are Jews and Gentiles one in Messiah, Ephesians chapter 2. We do a tremendous amount of evangelism. We hosted a monstrous outreach to the SatanCon event in Boston the spring. I don't know if you remember what happened in Boston. The largest satanic convention, they were boasting, in the world.
Oh, my goodness.
We hosted a very large outreach. We kept out of the fray and out of the limelight because I said, look, we're not going to get involved in the feeding frenzy of insanity. We're here to do evangelism. Keep your focus. We're not here to protest. We're not here to get into trouble. We're not here to get recognition. We spent thousands and thousands of dollars to put this on, and the Lord has been so gracious to even recoup it. And I didn't even raise money. And we've recouped everything, and we used it. We rented a suite in the hotel. I rented a room so they couldn't throw us out. We put together outreach teams from congregations all over the place. And we witnessed to, I don't even know, scores of Satanists and everybody else. And I met, you have no idea how many Jews I met and witnessed to them and shared the gospel. And so we put together, I had shirts made so no one could confuse us with anybody else. And it said, the Messiah has come. I think I stole that from Chosen People Ministry, so don't tell them I stole that from them. And the design. And we had those shirts made and we went out and it was an amazing outreach, and we've really seen some good fruit. I'm still witnessing online to some folks who we met and had contact with. One of them is a major leader in the Satanist movement. And we do we host conferences for pastors. Every one of the biblical Levitical 23 feasts, I host a conference for pastors. On the biblical feasts of the fall, the spring feast, Pesach, Shavuot, etc. We have pioneered our congregation, a congregation in Maine. We pioneered a congregation in Hawaii. Unfortunately, it's disbanded because everyone left Hawaii because it got so crazy. But we were ministering it back and forth in Hawaii for a number of years and going back and forth to Israel and doing outreach. I was out working with Avi Mizrahi on a rare occasion, out in the streets of Tel Aviv on my stilts. We did some ministry with a congregation in Ariel, doing outreach. I mean, just getting into as much trouble as possible and having as much fun. And we've been to Morocco. I was kidnapped in Morocco. Had a lot of fun. That was enjoyable.
And lived to tell the story. Oh, my goodness. Well, let's see. What is the name of your congregation and what city are you in?
It's called Sha'ar HaShemayim, the gate of heaven, not to be confused with Heaven's Gate, the cult. And Stoughton is, where we're at is 3 miles from a place called Sharon. Sharon is a small community, about 18,000 people. At one time, it was 72% Jewish.
Wow. Wow.
It's now probably close to the 50, because you know how demographics shift, and there's been a lot of different groups that have moved in, but it's still a very densely Jewish populated community. They know us well. They've tried to shut us down. I mean, to no avail. And we've had tremendous success reaching out to everybody and his Uncle Joe. And, we have visitors every week. We meet Freitag B'Nacht Shabbos every Friday. We meet at 7:30. We meet of on the first and third Saturday for what we call Bible and Bagels, which is a time of food, fellowship, really taking a Shabbat, relaxing in the Lord. We study for 3 hours and have a great time laughing and eating and schmoozing and fellowshipping and giving people a reason to fulfill Isaiah 56, where we make the Shabbat a delight.
Wow.
And then we meet every Tuesday night for adult Bible study. I have a Thursday afternoon luncheon and fellowship at my house with just whoever can make it. And then the first, the second is a Batzion, women's ministry on Shabbat. And then the last is men. The men get together. We're about 80 people if everyone comes.
That's wonderful. All right. Well, we're almost out of time, but I have two questions. So quickly, I'd like to know the names of your books and where we can buy them. And then lastly, how can we pray for you?
Well, you can't buy them because we don't sell them. I give them away. That was a command from the Lord. I've given about 5,000 books away. The first book is entitled The Lord Chose ... Who? And it's a book about why the Lord created the Hebrew people and how does that affect our theology. Why were the Jews created? Of course, Genesis 12. And the second book is known as or called My Name Is Not God. To know his name and to know his titles is to know his character. Lauren Jacobs gave me his list of all the titles and names, and I used that. But these are only about 180 some odd pages, but it's an intense study from Exodus 3 about the name of the Lord and all of his titles and why he needs to be called by his name, because he becomes generic other than that and a one-size-fits-all God who can be defined by anybody for any different reason. And then the third book that I'm working on right now is entitled So You Think You're Called to Ministry, and it's a book about understanding the call to ministry and what to expect.
And don't you have an autobiography too?
No, it's not an autobiography. It's just a brief short chapter about my life, very briefly, on the first book. I didn't want to make these books about myself.
And how can people get a hold of them?
They can call me, they can write me, and I'll send it to them. I don't sell them. The Lord has financed them. I don't monetize the gospel. I refuse to do it.
All right.
And that's kept my mind focused on what we're doing.
So if anybody listening to the broadcast is interested, they can contact me and I know how to get a hold of you. All right.
Yeah, or I can give you do you want me to give you my number or not?
It's up to you. If you want to make it public,
sure.
Go for it.
I get all kinds of prank calls. It doesn't bother me. The number to call is 508-944-7393. 508-944-7393. But wait, there's more. Call today. No, actually, there's not more. But you know.
That's fabulous. All right. So briefly, how can we pray for you?
Well, I just continue to pray that we have success in our outreach. I've had a number of operations since retiring from Betta Fuji. I've had two hips, one shoulder. I've got one more shoulder to go, total shoulder replacement. My wrist needs to be replaced, and I need an L4 and an L5 used. So I'm in a lot of pain. I work out every day still, and I keep my strength. I'm not an acrobat anymore, but I'm also, I just turned 65 two days ago. And for an old fart, I do pretty good, but I get a lot of pain daily. And so I'd like to have some relief. If the Lord can heal me and I don't have to go through any more titanium replacements. But like I said, two hips, one shoulder, and they've had to do total replacement of all the joint. So I'm trying to get that shoulder done because the pain has been pretty excruciating. I try and push through it.
May the Lord heal you in the name of Yeshua, and may you have total relief. And I just speak against any inflammation. And I ask, Lord, that you would cause Rabbi Henry's body to be in perfect alignment with your word. And I thank you, Father God, and I pray for favor over his family, that you would provide all the finances they need, and that you would bless his ministry, and that you would just continue to open doors for him in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Wow, you've come a long way, baby. Listen.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being my guest on Bagels.
And I don't even smoke Virginia Slims.
I am from Virginia, but, you know, I didn't smoke. Thank you for being my guest on Bagels and Blessings. And jeepers, I'd love to have you on the show again sometime.
All right. Anytime. Do me a favor after you're done. When you get a chance, send me this interview.
I certainly will. God bless you. Shalom for now.
And be blessed. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Shalom.
Bye-bye.
I don't know about you, but I really enjoyed that interview. I have wonderful memories years ago of being at the Messiah Conference and seeing Rabbi Henry, although he wasn't a rabbi at the time, riding on his unicycle, doing his ministry to the young people. And he's a very talented man, and now the Lord is using him as a rabbi. And let us remember to keep him in our prayers for physical healing. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Next up, an oldie but goodie. You know, when I became a believer in 1976, one of the first messianic groups I ever heard was the group Lamb. This next song, Baruch Hashem, Bless His Name, is one of the first songs I ever heard.
The heart of the Jews, Jerusalem, the Messiah, his only king. And when in the soul of a Jew he reigns, peace to the city he brings. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua, Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Behold the son of Abraham, sent by God our people to redeem. When he came forth from Bethlehem, I heard the angels sing. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem, HaMashiach, Yeshua. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Baruch Hashem, Adonai. Bless His name, for His name is good. Yeshua HaMashiach is the name I love. Bless His name, for His name is good. Sanctified us by His blood. Wine of joy, filled with the spirit of Adonai, united in the love Messiah brings. Now we sing to Elohim. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem HaMashiach Yeshua. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Baruch Hashem Adonai.
Thanks so much for listening. Here's Phil Klein with the Aaronic Benediction.
Yivarechech Adonai Vayismorecha. Yager Adonai panav alecha vikunecha. Yisa Adonai panav alecha. We assemble Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember, every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you so much for listening to Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.